All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And while you are turning there, the title of my message tonight is Trust Christ, Our Only Blessed Hope. You know, the thing about that is that we really only have one blessed hope. That's Jesus Christ. And I think we're entering in a time right now that when we realize when all else fails, that we do truly have one blessed hope. Because if there is anything about Christ, is that His love never fails. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And no matter what this world may bring, Christ promises eternal life. Through His Word and through what He did for us at the cross. So anyways, Titus chapter 2 verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, the great God, well, why is that the case? Well, the thing is, you have the Holy Trinity. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Son is, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but He is God in the flesh. And that's something that we may not be able to comprehend, but Jesus never says to comprehend that, He says to believe it. That's all He says. That's the new covenant, is to believe on Him, which He came to die on the cross for our sins. He does not say to comprehend it. He asks us to believe on Him and to believe what He said. Now, as born-again believers, we do have that blessed hope. But the lost and dying world does not. And that's a very sad reality, especially now. Paul talks about how in the last days there will be a great falling away. A great falling away. With great apostasy. And it's really sad. And there's going to be some things I'm going to say tonight that may seem a little discomforting. But the reason why I will be saying what I will be saying is to show you that there is one blessed hope. And I am not going to really dive too much into politics, but I will dive into some of it in which I will use that to demonstrate why we are where we're at right now and why God has allowed that. But before we do, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. The question I would like to ask you all is, do you have your faith and trust in the Lord? If not, my prayer and hope is that you'd come to know who Christ is and to put your faith and trust in Him and or put your faith and trust back on Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's interesting. It says a lively hope. It does not say a dead hope. You know, Christ may have died on the cross, but He's not on that cross. They took Him down and put Him in a sepulcher. And on the third day, He rose again. He couldn't be found in the sepulcher. And we know that the promise that we are promised that He is coming again. And so therefore we know that He is alive forevermore. Amen. That's a good promise to have a lively hope and not a dead hope. So we as believers have a lively hope. We have a hope that is alive, but the world has a dead hope. And that dead hope isn't going to do much. It's not going to do much for them. And they'll realize that one of these days. That's why it's important to put your faith and trust in Christ and to have a, and it's not just putting your faith and trust in Christ. That's a big part of it. But the other part of it is having a relationship with Christ. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He wants to have that relationship with you. And with that said, there is not really any other religion on this planet that offers that. In Islam, Muslims can't have a relationship with their God. Little g. There is no relationship there. Bible Christianity is the only one that we can have a relationship with God. The only one. And God wants to have that relationship with you. Now, in Psalm 118, verses 8 through 9, it said, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." This is going to be kind of the heavy part. Now, before I proceed, I do want to say that I'm not here to bash Trump. I'm not here to bash Biden. I'm not here to bash anybody. What I want to do is be able to take a look at what happened and to actually put it in perspective so that we see why we're here today, why our nation is the way it is right now. The last 4 years throughout Trump's presidency, we see that a lot of people have put confidence in Trump. They've put a lot of trust in Trump. They put a lot of trust in right-wing media. They put their trust in the Q movement. People have been kind of wondering, you know, what was going to happen with the election. People were counting on Trump to stay in for another 4 years. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what is bad is being able to put confidence and trust in a man and hoping in something and then realizing that it didn't come true. We see that even a lot of Christians have put a lot of stock and a lot of trust in Trump instead of putting trust in Christ. Okay? And so a lot of people and even a lot of so-called Christians were, and all these false prophets were saying that Trump's going to stay in. You don't have to worry about it. And even a lot of pastors that came out and said it and just misleading people. And that's a danger, because when people pass lies like that and you find out over time that they were lies, that's where you get into some serious trouble. As watchmen, when you do see trouble coming, you have to blow the horn. Now, I like to put it this way, is don't be the boy who cried wolf. Don't cry wolf when there is no wolf. Because the moment when the wolf shows up, if you cry wolf, people are not going to believe you anymore. They won't. They'll just disregard it and say, there he goes again, spouting off all of the stuff that he's saying. And the wolf comes and trouble happens. And it's usually going to be the person who is spouting off the lies that is their fault. And the point I want to make with that is, man will fail you. Doesn't matter. Man, let God be true and every man a liar. Man can lie. Man will fail. You know, and the thing is, we can't put our trust in man. You know? And that's the point of why we bring up. And also, I also tend to think, too, the reason why God had allowed... I do want to say this, though, okay? I do believe that the election was cheated, was stolen. It wasn't legitimate. But God allowed it for... God had allowed that to happen. And he allowed Biden to get away with what he did and to be in office. And I think a primary reason is to show his people that they need to trust God. They need to trust what he has. You know, the Q movement, you know, their whole thing was trust the plan. Well, the thing is, we don't know who Q was. You know, there's a lot of speculation of who Q was. But they would always say, you know, trust the plan. But the thing is, true Bible born again Christians need to realize that Christ is the only one who they should trust. It's all about what the Bible says. It's all about Christ. Christ has a plan that we should trust. Man will fail you. Man will pretend to like you and hurt you. Man will do all sorts of things. But rest assured, Christ will never do that. Christ will never lie. He will always tell the truth. Amen. So I hope that wasn't too discomforting, but I just want to point out that it is truly better to put our faith and trust in Christ rather than man, because Christ will always follow through on his promises. In Psalm 146, verse 3, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help." You know, man tends to think that he has a plan. And by the way, especially now under communism, we're not under full communism yet. But communism basically, their whole deal is for you to trust Big Brother government to take care of them. But that never happens. Never happens under socialism or communism. See, socialism and communism delivers on lies. They deliver on promises that they can't keep, all to get people together. And then when they get them together and when things will start to go very horribly wrong. This is why socialism doesn't work. It doesn't. It's a whole redistribution of wealth. It doesn't work. This is why we need to put our faith and trust in Christ. Because eventually, every government, everything that we see, everything we have, will all be burned up by fire. And so it is better to put our trust in Christ, because Christ promises us that we will have rewards that won't burn up. He says, "Lay yourselves up treasures in heaven, where neither rust or thief could steal." Amen. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." It is better for us to trust in God, because God, we know where God will lead us. Eventually, it will lead us onto eternal life. But man will lead you through a desert and other places that you don't want to go. You know, that's kind of how sin is. Sin will bring you where you don't want to go. And that's the big thing about trusting God, is do you trust God enough to where Christ, you believe that Christ had paid that full payment on the cross? Because if it wasn't for what Christ did on the cross, we would still be bound by sin. And sin will swallow you up. And sin will bring you into places that you don't want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want it to stay. Sin will bind you and will keep you a lot longer than you want to. But by putting our faith and trust in Christ, who is our blessed hope, he can set you free from that, from sins that does put you in bondage. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we can have assurance and peace that Christ paid it all, that he didn't just pay it all, but he provided a way to be reconciled back to the Father, not just by relationship, but to bring us back or to bring us to heaven and to be reconciled with him for all eternity. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the door and only door. He is the only way to go to heaven. Amen. Without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we are lost in our sins and need to be saved. Okay, let's see here. Psalm 31, verse 24. It says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And Psalm 146:5, it says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, when we put our faith and trust in Christ instead of man, we have a joy. We have a happiness in Christ. That's because we know that Christ is the ultimate provider, protector, and supplier. And he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Where was I here? I lost my spot. let's see here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You know, the wicked will eventually perish. And there is, and unfortunately, Jesus talked about that. When he talks about how narrow is the way, very few find it, and broad is the way to destruction, and many there find it. You know, there's going to be people who will stand before him that claim to have trusted him and put their faith in him. And they say, well, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful works? We've done this and this and this. The Lord's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, the thing is that even the devils, they believe and they tremble. If you want to know that if you are right and you're born again, it's do you receive chastening of the Lord? Because when you sin and fall short, God will chasten you. And he does it because he loves you and he cares for you. He's not doing it to pick on you, but he's doing it because he wants you to get right. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 17. But not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. You know, we can see right now with everything going on and just everything going on in this nation that this is a day of evil. But, you know, we have a hope in Christ. We have a hope. A blessed hope. His name is Jesus Christ. No matter what times that we may live in, Christ will always be with us even unto the end. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is your hope. He is the hope that you can trust. He is that blessed hope. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25, for we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. Hope in what? Hope in Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven which we must be saved. It's only the name of Christ in which we must be saved. For we are saved by hope. Christ is our hope. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. You know, if hope was seen, it's no longer hope, is it? It's something that you can physically see. There is no hope if you can see it. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see and not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, in James, the book of James, I'll turn to it first. That's Peter. I mean James. In James chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we see here that says, then do we with patience wait for it. So that's why we go through trials, is to have patience and being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Which means that we know that we have the chief shepherd who is Christ. That's all we need. That's all we really ever need is Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we seek Christ, His righteousness, and all these other things, and listen, the Lord knows what you need before you even ask Him. He'll supply you with what you need. But sometimes, well, a lot of times, and most times, He wants you to seek Him. And His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. But that's the main thing, is seeking Him, seeking our hope. The government can't do that, but God can. God is bigger than all of our problems on this earth. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we need before we even ask Him. Amen. God is a loving God, and He is much bigger than all of us combined. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 25, it says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Amen. Now, I want to go to Hosea, and then we'll go to Genesis 22 after that, and we'll close with that. But in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor from a door for a door of hope." Think about that, a door of hope. Jesus Christ is that door. He is the only door, but He is our hope. He is our door of hope. And if you study out the book of Hosea, it's a pretty fascinating book. If you study it out, we see that the prophet Hosea is commanded to marry a prostitute by the name of Gomer. And Gomer is the unfaithful wife. And we see that Hosea is represented as he's a type and picture of Christ. And Gomer is a type and picture of us. Because even when we're unfaithful, God is faithful. When we kind of go off and do our own things sometimes, and our flesh gets in the way, and when we fall short in sin, we become unfaithful. But God is faithful to forgive, He is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hosea is a wonderful book, because Hosea is the whole book is a picture of God's love for all of us, for His bride, for His church, even each and single one of us. It's an amazing book. But we know that we have a door of hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now I want us to go to Genesis 22. And probably not the greatest example, but in Genesis 22. You guys know what Genesis 22 is. It is when God tempts Abraham. Now that word tempt is talking about a test. God is testing Abraham's faith. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now we know that God had made a promise to Abraham that he would have a son through his wife Sarah. And now we see here that God is wanting to take his only son and offer him up for a burnt offering. Now, the reason why I mention this is because Abraham had such faith in God and the promise that God had told him. He had such faith that he obeyed God and he was going to do exactly that. Because he considered that if he was going to actually offer him up and he would die, that God would raise him up. He had that much hope and faith in God and what he would do. But then we see later on in the story that when Abraham was getting ready to do it, an angel spoke out and said, lay not a hand on the lad. And we see that there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. You know, that ram is a type and picture of Christ, because that ram was a substitute for Isaac. In the same manner that while we yet deserve death, Christ was our substitute, and he was willing to pay that price in full. And because of that, that is the hope that we have in Christ. We have a hope and assurance in Christ that if you are born again today, the hope that you have is that you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven. We have a great hope in Christ. And I'll tell you something. The hope that we have in Christ, the world will never be able to offer that kind of hope. It can try. And obviously we see that the world offers a hope. But it's not. It's a false hope. It's a counterfeit hope. But we have the hope. Christ Jesus. Amen. So I want to kind of close with this and just challenge you guys. No matter what happens, because I don't know what's going to happen in the future, we know that things are going to get worse. And it's going to lead into having a one world system. That's where it's leading to. But regardless of what's going to come in the coming years, God is faithful. We can trust what God says, we can trust what he's going to do. We can trust him. And I'll tell you, that's putting, you know, being able to trust him is simple, but it's not easy. Something that the Lord's even dealing with me and working with me on in some areas of my life is trusting him and trusting what he has is good. Because everything that God does, he does for a reason. And he does it for our good, and it is good. But are we willing to trust the Lord and to accept that what he has for us is in our best interest? If not, that can be easily fixed, either by giving yourself to the Lord or going before the Lord and repenting and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't trusted you in this area. Help me. God will help those who call out and cry out to Him. And if you're lost today and you don't know that you're saved, okay, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very simple. Salvation is not complicated, because if it was complicated, then what need was there for Christ to die on the cross? It's very simple. All you have to do is cry out to Christ. Cry out to God. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. Amen. Brother Bill, if you want to come up.